20, whatever it was. Anyway, there was a passable. And, that was even tougher because it was, there was, the light was waning. We should have done it much earlier. We should have done it much earlier when there was more light. Yeah, I'm so tired, but they were just beat. They've been on heavy duty all day. Snows. Good morning. Okay, where's the rest of the home? There they are. Good morning. Good morning. Mama's back. That's what I heard. Well, we feel that it's been halted. We'll see. She's gone for Neuralink work in Washington State.
Wow, smart.
Yeah, boy, it is brand new, yeah.
Looks like an open. To me.
He knew.
Okay,
we're about ready to go here.
Yeah.
It's going.
Okay.
Let's open with hymn number 380.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake.
Oh,
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, we beseech thee, mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of sin, defend us from all evil, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this Quinquagesima Sunday is found in the 8th chapter of Jeremiah, the 4th through the 9th verse. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why then has this people slidden back Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course, as the horse rushes into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph.
The epistle lesson for this day is found in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 1st through the 13th verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
The gospel for this day is found in the 18th chapter of Luke, the 31st through the 43rd verse.
Glory to
Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn 353. Grace be multiplied unto you, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the Gospel lesson, Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 43. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood and still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and as he passes by, some eyes are shut and wait to be opened. And some eyes which can see quite well are squeezed tightly shut and refused to be opened. And some eyes are open, even though they cannot see. The eyes of Jesus' disciples are shut because they cannot understand the simple words of Jesus as he prophesies his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. Yet, they can still be opened, and indeed they will be opened, after these things have come to pass. The eyes of Bartimaeus, the blind man, are already opened. For he cries out to Jesus, the Son of David, that he might have mercy on him and heal him of his blindness. The eyes of most of the Jews, though, refuse to be opened, for they're shut so tight that even now they plot to lay hands upon the Son of God, deliver him to the Gentiles so that he may be tortured and crucified and put to death. But for all of these, Jesus passes by. He comes bringing mercy. He brings mercy that his apostles will proclaim to the ends of the earth. He brings mercy to poor sinners who already believe in him, and he even brings mercy to those of his own people who deny him and persecute him, even though they refuse his mercy and want nothing to do with it. But eyes are, after all, only opened so that they can see. But what do they see then, once they are opened? What do they see in Jesus? For those who believe on his name, they see that Jesus is a refuge, a fortress, a rock of defense, a savior, a guide through the troubled and treacherous earth, a redeemer from sin and from the wrath of God. He is love incarnate. He suffers long and is kind. He does not seek his own glory, but endures all things that we might have life. And while the eyes of men may be shut, the eyes of Jesus are wide open. For he looks upon the poor and the lowly with mercy, and he sets his eyes upon the greatest prize of all, the redemption which he will accomplish for all men with his own suffering and death. Knowing full well what will take place, he says, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem." And so it is, with eyes set upon Jerusalem, that he tells his disciples all these things that he would accomplish, all the things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. Jesus is not speaking in riddles or parables. His words are clear. They are so simple that a child can understand them. He will be delivered, literally handed over, to the Gentiles, who will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will scourge him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. But the disciples were like blind men. They did not grasp any of these things. The saying was hidden from them. They didn't realize the things that he said. What was wrong with these disciples? How could Jesus have made it any more clear? Couldn't they speak Aramaic or Greek? Well, yes, they could. But when you are blinded by false hopes, you can miss the obvious so easily. Do not be so certain that you would do better. These men have had all the same scriptures that you have, minus the New Testament. But they could not turn to the four Gospels to see what was happening. I don't know about you, but if I was in their shoes, I know I could not have done any better at all. All of the most pious teachers of the Jews believed in a Messiah who would come to be their mighty king. Not one who would suffer and die. What would you have done if the man Jesus in whom you put all your hopes started talking about his own death before he could even raise a small army? Jesus promised them the kingdom, but now he talks like the kingdom's never going to come. And so the saying was hidden from them. They couldn't understand a thing that he said. Today we treat the kingdom of Jesus in much the same way. He has plainly told us that his kingdom is within us. It is right here among us. It is wherever his church is. And his church is wherever his word and sacraments are. The confession that Jesus is the Son of David, the Christ, is the rock upon which the church stands forever. He is our refuge and our strength right here and right now. He does not forgive our sins at some future time. On perhaps the day that we are delivered from this world, our deliverance from death has already happened. But do we treat those words as if Jesus means exactly what he says? Do we remember that even in the midst of tribulation, persecution, and pain, the kingdom of God is ours right now? Today it is our rock and fortress. Or do we grow weary and discouraged and believe that our heavenly treasure is in some far-off place? Only ours after so many trials, so much pain. And if the mercies of God are so far off, not to be realized, who is to say that we will ever see them? That we could possibly persevere until the day when God finally gives us what he promised? That surely is how it seemed to the disciples, who, when their hopes failed, they all forsook Jesus and fled. Yet Christ did not fail. Even in the middle of persecution and torment and death, he was prevailing over our sins and over death and over Satan. They thought that salvation had passed them by, but it was being fulfilled right before their eyes. And finally, when all was said and done, and Jesus had risen from the dead, their eyes were opened. And they remembered the words which Jesus spoke in all their simplicity. Yes, Jesus actually means exactly what he says. And so it is with you. Jesus is your rock and fortress today, right now. You do not have to wait to taste the joys of heaven. In his word and sacraments, he is actually giving you what he has promised. He is bringing the joys of heaven to you now, even in the midst of loneliness and despair. Here on this earth, he came and suffered and died and shed real blood and was buried in a real tomb, and a real stone was rolled away from that tomb. And that same body of Jesus, once dead, is now alive. Jesus is here before you now, with all of his grace and mercy and love. Therefore, instead of being like the disciples who treated his blessings as something far off, let your eyes be opened so that you can be like the blind man, Bartimaeus, who in his blindness did not think of Jesus as some unfulfilled king in an unrealized kingdom. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now there was a true confession, a grasping of the word and promise of God. The blind man cried out to Jesus for mercy, and he called him the Son of David. Think about what that means. Mercy means to take pity, to look upon this blind and desperate man and show compassion. He does not have anything to offer Jesus except for his wretched eyes and his cries for help. Now, he did not cry out to the Pharisees or the Sadducees. What could they do for him? All the really pious and religious people he knew would tell him to shut up. He was blind because he was a sinner, or because his parents were sinners, and therefore he had no right to be cured and no reason to expect it, and it was wrong for him to cry out and beg for mercy. He was only getting what he deserved. So also he does not cry out to any physician. What could they do for him? He was blind. Even today, except in the rarest of circumstances, our best doctors cannot cure blindness. No doctor was of any use. But he calls upon Jesus. And that means that he believed of all men that Jesus was able to help him. And why he believed this is as plain as day. Because Jesus is the Son of David. Because he is Christ. And because of that, he had the power to bring life from the dead. He could even bring life to dead eyes. While Jesus' own disciples could not grasp his words, this blind man sure could. He lays hold on Jesus, grasping after him. He would not be deterred, even when the crowd was telling him to shut up. He just cried louder, because Jesus was right there. Not a wish or a dream or some future yet unrealized thing, but a real breathing man walking in human flesh and born into the world, a true Son of David. And true to Jesus' nature, Jesus does not turn away any who cry to him for help. He stands still and orders that the man be brought to him. Now it was obvious that the man was blind. Nevertheless, Jesus still asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Coming from Jesus, this was a challenge like saying, "Well, what do you expect of me?" The man could easily become discouraged. Couldn't Jesus see that he was blind? Perhaps Jesus couldn't really help him. But no, the man continues to grasp after Jesus and answers, "To make me see again." Now that was what Jesus wanted to hear. Or rather, what Jesus wanted you to hear also. He wants you to hear the blind man lay hold of Jesus by faith. To believe something that his eyes certainly could not see. To cry out for mercy. To ask for the impossible. And be certain that Jesus would hear and could do what he asked. That is what Jesus wants you to do. To cry out to him and know that he does not wait to help you in his kingdom, but here on earth right now he is. "See again," Jesus says, "your faith has saved you." And with that word, Jesus accomplished what the words themselves declared. And if in God's will, Jesus does not take away your diseases or disabilities right now, his word is still just as sure and certain. When he forgives you your sins, when he tells you that you have eternal life, when he promises to raise you up from the dead, those are not empty words, but the words themselves accomplish what he says that they will do. That is why he is your rock and fortress, your refuge from sin, and your redeemer. Thanks be to God that Jesus continues to pass by, to come into our neighborhoods, our churches, upon our altars, in our pulpits, so that he might open our eyes, even as he opened the eyes of his disciples after he rose from the dead. Do not be silent. Do not be deterred by the crowds who tell you to hold your tongue, by the world who thinks that you are strange and foolish to continue to call upon Jesus whom your eyes cannot see. Jesus wants to hear from sinners such as you. He wants you to call out to him in your need, for he will hear you. He has already answered your prayer. All things that were written in the prophets have been accomplished in Jesus. He was delivered into the hands of sinners. He was abused. He was crucified. And that is why he came. You can see it in his words. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem so that his blood and his flesh would become the food and drink which forgives your sins, even as it enters your mouth. Hear his words and understand them. See what he plainly declares to you. Know the things that he has spoken. And receiving them freely, rejoice with all his people that you have a God who still does wonders, who continues to be a rock and a fortress, a savior and redeemer, right here, today, among his people. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, whose ways are mercy and truth to such as keep thy covenant and thy testimonies, let the gentle dew of thy peace fall upon all who have come this day into thy house to offer unto thee the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. In the name of thy Son, pardon our iniquity. Remember not the sins of our youth, nor our transgressions. But in thy great mercy forgive us. Restore our souls. Lead us into thy truth. Teach us thy ways. Be gracious unto us and bring us out of all our distresses. O Lord Jesus Christ, thou Son of David, who prophesied thy passion and death, have mercy upon us. Open our sin-darkened eyes to behold thy glory and to rejoice in thy salvation. Give us faith that we may believe in thy power and in thy love, that thou art able to grant our petitions and are willing to save all that come unto the Father by thee. O Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, who alone leadeth men from the darkness of error into the light of the kingdom of Christ, enlighten our understanding. Teach us of the great love wherewith Christ has redeemed us, and with this knowledge establish in our hearts the hope of everlasting life and an enduring love for God and our neighbor. O holy triune God, in whom we live and move and have our being, bless this house that it may continually be a place where thine honor dwells, thy name is praised, and thy truth proclaimed. Bless our homes that they may be rooted and grounded in love and every good work. Help all those among us who may be enduring any affliction, trial, or adversity, and reveal the exceeding greatness of thy power to all who believe. Look in mercy upon the nations of the earth, and cause all peoples and rulers to yield to thine authority, that in every place thy name might be hallowed, thy kingdom prospered, and thy will be done, even as it is done in heaven. To this end, cause thy church to go forth to the nations, preaching thy gospel with courage and boldness, and manifesting thy grace and glory with works of love and compassion. Now unto him whose name we bear, whose doctrine we confess, and whom, though we see now but darkly, we shall one day see face to face, even Jesus Christ, be honor and glory forever. Amen. We sing hymn number 334. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome, through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. True body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 51. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Next Sunday, we have installation service for Pastor King. You'll note in the bulletin that we're switching up the schedule a little bit for that Sunday. We have pastors traveling from South Dakota, and they'll be coming up that morning. And so we have a service scheduled for 11 a.m. with Bible class before the service at 9:30, and still potluck following the service. Also forgot to remember for the announcements in the bulletin, Ash Wednesday this Wednesday. So we have our first midweek Lent service, 7:30 here Ash Wednesday, which is a Wednesday this year.
Nothing like redundancy.
The Department of Redundancy, The Department, what was it? What does that go? I don't remember now. Department of Redundancy Department. All right.